Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and we'll be talking about an interesting conversation today. So sit back, relax, and call a friend. Tell them that to tune in to Blog Talk Radio. Mothers and daughters, they are on the line, on the internet, all sitting back, waiting to have an interesting dialogue today. But before we get started, we want to first give thanks to God for the opportunity. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank Him for the opportunity to get up this morning on Saturday morning and right mind and good health. As a man thinketh, so is he. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to be able to speak to mothers and daughters around the world, to be able to share a thought that would penetrate their minds and would change their image of themselves so that they can get closer to the image that you have projected into their hearts. We thank you, we love you, and we appreciate you for being our Father and sending Jesus to save us from ourselves. Amen. That's the topic for today, basically, saving ourselves. Again, I am your host. I am Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I have to get used to saying that. And I want to thank all the listeners out there this morning for calling in and joining us today for a show that is going to, I think, give some interesting dialogue on our conversations today. Let's look at a few announcements. Of course, let me just say again for the newcomers that are coming on, we are also on blogtalkradio.com. Via your computer, you can go and go to the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. You can join us by calling 347-539-5078. Just click 1 when you want to join the conversation. And if you have any questions, you can go on Blog Talk and, of course, hit the chat button. And for those who want to, you know, at least send me a message, you can do that as well. Our stimulating topic this morning is mothers. It's on mothers and daughters' reflections of themselves. Mother and daughter reflections of themselves. I want you to think about that. We want to thank the individuals out there that has been working hard, helping to keep mother and daughter alive. You know who you are. We appreciate you. God, and more, less than anything else, God knows who you are, and your blessings will increase on a daily basis, second by second, for all that you do to get the word out to mothers and daughters. Don't you think for a moment that God don't know who you are, because He does. He knows exactly your participation in the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network and getting the message out. And He will bless you accordingly. So, again, if you want to make a donation to our cause, we are now the Mother and Daughter Bonding Faith Ministries, and you can go to our website at www.mdbn.org. Excuse me, I'm still holding on to whatever this is. It's working its way out. www.mdbn.org. Click on the red button to make a donation. Or if you'd like to speak to me, you can call me at 786-462-6470. That's 786-462-6470. Again, our topic this morning, mothers and daughters' reflections of themselves. And I'm Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. You can also reach me at www.drbessie.com just to see a little bit about what I do, interaction with mothers and daughters. I want to thank all of the mother and daughter and ambassadors. They are the women behind the scenes that make things happen. We also have a mother and daughter cruise coming up on November the 13th. And for anyone that wants to go, of course, we have a few more cabins, and if you want to go, you can call us. All money has to be paid in one payment, okay, because of duration of time. Again, the number is 786-462-6470 if you're interested in that. Let's see what else we got going here. We are talking about mothers and daughters looking. Last week, I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to get that far at this moment. I want to thank the women on our vision board. You know, we this Monday, vision board meeting at 8 o'clock to make sure that we get back on track. Vision board meeting is Monday at 8, and we are going to share all of the wonderful things that have happened on this vision board. This is October, and we started in January. There's so many things. So all of our vision board members, write down the things that has happened from January to now, and we're going to do a measuring stick on Monday night, okay, to get us back on track. I'm excited about that. Our stimulating topic, mothers and daughters, talking about the reflection. What I'd like to do is say that last week we talked about mothers and daughters looking from within. Now, that in itself, I've gotten a lot of comments from that. Individuals calling me saying, you know, wow, it gave me an opportunity to look at who I am and from the inside. And a lot of times people really did not put in a lot of thought on the difference in the conversations and the difference in the relationships that are housed within your person, within your thoughts and your mind and your body. All the relationships have to come together, and we know how relationships are. Relationships are a tug of war. They're constantly one side measuring the other, trying to see, are we balanced? Does one side have more than the other? That kind of a thing. Well, it happens in our outer relationships with other people. So it definitely happens with our relationship within ourselves, because what happened is that, you know, you're constantly fighting a battle. And you can't fight a battle just by yourself. It's got to take two thoughts that's rubbing against each other with some kind of friction. And you're trying to make a choice. Which thought should I go with? Because that thought is going to do the projections for you. And then those projections are going to give you your experiences. So that's kind of what we looked at last week. Mothers and daughters looking from within. Now, and I'm going to give you a brief on that so we can kind of move smoothly into what we're talking about today. Now that we know that we become what we say, it is our job to watch our words. And I said that when we talk about the power of the word and how it affects our life experiences, and that the life experiences affect the people that are around us, and we talked about how the tongue aligning our tongue with our heart. I don't know why I'm putting emphasis on words today, but bear with me. We must be able to align our body and our soul. Now, those are two key elements because it deals with the mind, body, and soul, and we've heard it that way all of our lives, the mind, body, and the soul. Well, when you say that, it's like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those are the Trinity that makes up the total package. So when you're doing that, the way that you conversate around and in between those things will manifest who you really are, which will produce the change in the relationship from what you actually say. So, like I tell you, almost 2 years we've been on this radio. We've talked about mothers and daughters and their relationship. We talk about, you know, the intro conversation. That is the platform in which I stand on. Everything is based on that intro conversation. It's based on what are you saying within the walls of your mind, that wall that no one else can get into except you. And behind that wall, you're having words with yourself. And those words generate what we call a conversation, which generates a thought, and then a projection, and then who you think that you are. So now that we know that a relationship is the interaction between two people, two things, then we know it has to deal with two, and it will affect you. It will affect you and your daughter's relationship, your spouse, your friend, your sisters, your cousin, your coworkers. That relationship is just that powerful. It's that tongue and body relationship will dictate where you go and how you go there, meaning that whatever you say, your body reacts to it. If you say, I'm going to go here, then the body goes there. The body only moves according to what you say. We talked about if you don't like your body, then your body, you know, you're not going to really like what you do in life, because you're going to see that body, and that body will dictate thoughts in your mind, and that will generate the level of self-esteem that you're going to have about who you are, and it filtrates into your relationship with your daughter or your relationship with other people. So that brought us down to, how do you really feel about yourself? That was the last question that we end up with. How do you really feel about yourself? And that takes us to our topic today, mothers and daughters' reflections of themselves. Now that we've seen that there are two strong relationships and they have a major input on how we feel about ourselves, now let's look at the results of those relationships and how they project an image or a vision of what we see in the mirror. How you feel about yourself will give you a reflection of yourself. So when you look in the mirror, you're looking at a reflection of your thoughts. Now, I would venture to say that about one-third of how you feel about yourself make up the way that you see yourself. So one-third of your thoughts, and it may be a little higher, so I just want to be a little soft on that. In my case, I'm like 100% of what you say is about yourself is who you are and what you think. But I'll soften it a little bit because people don't like to go with 100%. You know, there's not 100% of anything. Well, there is, but we won't go there today because that's not our topic. So I'll say one-third of how you feel about yourself makes up what you see and how you see yourself. So just think for a moment. What if you did not have a mirror? If you didn't have a mirror, just think about that for a second. There was no mirrors. You couldn't see yourself. You don't know what you look like. You just being. What effects would that have on your judgment of who you are and who you think you are and what you think you are capable of accomplishing in your life? Now think about that. The reflection. When you see yourself in a mirror, it's a reflection, and then you make a judgment of who you are. And from that judgment, it will determine your day. Now think about it. I don't know about you. I'll just use me for an example because I know this happens to me. Sometimes I get up and I'll go into the bathroom. You know, that's usually our first mirror. And when you get into the bathroom, you look in the mirror and you make a judgment call. some mornings you look at yourself and you go, wow, I'm not looking very good today. You're not feeling good about yourself. All you can see is your faults and your wrinkles or your eyes is not like not as bright as normal or something. You're going to find something, a pimple in your face because you just want to say, you know, today is not the day. And then you can get up the next morning and stand before the mirror and you go, wow, I look good today. I look really, really good. And everything looks perfect on your face, your hair, your eyes, your lips. Everything just looks really, really good. Now, did your body change? No. Some minor. I mean, if we talk about aging, I mean, we age every second. But we're not getting to that level in this conversation at the moment. It wasn't that. It was your perception, which was created from your thought, that project an image that you like. Now, what happened from the morning before until this morning that gave you a different perception of yourself? Did someone make you smile during the day? Did you get a happy message? Somebody sent you some love? You know, you were feeling really good about yourself when you went to bed that night. You read something. You saw a love story before you lay down. You spoke to God. What was it that gave you the thought to rest on that project an image of I look good today? I have a friend, and she often says, you know, God, you didn't have to do it, but you did, and I thank you. You didn't have to make me this good looking. But, you know, when you say something like that, you're saying it because what it does, you're putting words into your thoughts that will project an image, will project a reflection of your feelings about yourself. So all day long you walk around thinking, thank you, God, for making me the way that you did. I like it. Because the Bible states, as a man thinketh, so is he. So there again, projection, reflection. What do you see? Now, your words create your thoughts, which generate what you think. And what you think creates your image of what you think that you see. Now, I'm going to say that again. Your words create your thoughts, which generate what you think. And what you think creates the image of what you think that you see. But is that what you really are seeing? Or is it a perception of what you are thinking? And that may have been a little, but good. Think about it. Because we can talk ourselves in and out of a situation very easily. All we got to do, and I'll give you a prime example of that, is get up and say, I don't feel good this morning. I don't think I feel good. Then your body will say, oh, we're not supposed to feel good. So things will start moving around in your body, and you'll start feeling things, and all of a sudden you won't feel good. Now, I know a young lady used to do that when she didn't want to go to work and decided she wanted to take a sick day, but she didn't want to lie. So she got up, and she would say, you know, I don't feel good. I'm really not feeling good. I just feel like I'm just not feeling good. And she'd do that until time to call in, because then that way, by the time she called in on her job, she really didn't feel good. So she wasn't lying. But the minute she called in and said, you know, I don't feel good. I'm going to take a day today. I just need to take care of my body.
hung up the phone and immediately felt better because she did it for a moment with the projection of an image. I don't feel good. Let me call them, tell them I don't feel good. And after that, go get me some breakfast, sit down, watch a movie. You know, let me do something. Let me do me. If you can relate to that, that's what I'm talking about. That's the creative image that comes from those words that you can project, and you can look good today, and you can look bad tomorrow. And I don't have to go a day. You can look good now and look bad in the next 15 to 20 minutes, and you will see a different person in the mirror. The person that you see in the mirror is the person that you created in your thoughts and in your thinking. So when you see yourself in a mirror, from this moment on, you will have this thought in your mind. Am I really looking at the God spirit that I am? Or am I looking at the image, projection, or perception of who I think that I am? And that's the question that keeps most mothers and daughters from being the person that God really created them to be. The statement or question, I'm going to repeat it. When you see yourself in a mirror from this moment on, you will have this thought in your mind. Am I really looking at the God spirit that I am? Or am I looking at the image, perception of who I think that I am? It is from this question that most mothers and daughters can't find their purpose in life. They run from one thought to another, trying to figure out what to do and how to do it. Now, I am not saying that once you find your purpose or your vision that God has given you, that everything will work just perfectly in your life without any oppositions or any resistance to life. Because opposition and resistance are allowed if you accept them. It's just that your oppositions and or resistance are more enjoyable when you know what your purpose in life is, if you are living inside of your purpose. Because you will love what you're doing, and you know in your heart that you're doing exactly what God has placed you here to do. Now, even Jesus was faced with opposition. So, why not you? It is the way that you see the vision or the image of who you are that dictates the strength and the love that will help you get through anything that comes onto your path as you travel back to your Father. See, until you start looking at the outer self and start looking at the inner self, you won't see what God has placed you here to do and what he has placed in your heart. Because we're so busy looking at what the eye can see, the physical eye. And we are looking and hearing what the world says and does. And we feel that we have to be what we see. But what you see is not what it is. Because what it is what God has placed in your heart to be. So if you stop looking at the world, if you stop looking at the trends, because you notice they'll tell you, you can eat an apple today. Now, next week, they may say, you know what? Eating too many apples is bad for your cholesterol. I'm just throwing that out there. Excuse me. So then we adjust accordingly. Oh, well, I love apples, but now they're saying if I eat too many apples, then it's going to be bad for my cholesterol. So I guess I better cut back on the apples. No research, not asking God how can an apple be bad for you when it's a seed, it's a creation from God? It's not the apple. It's what they put in the apple to grow the apple, to make it come about faster, or not letting it go through the godly process, or the fertilizer that they use in it. You know, that's why you have organic food plus processed food. That should tell you something right there. If it's organic, meaning that, you know, we just allow the elements and the process of God to go through the whole fullness of this particular plant or this particular vegetable, as opposed to the other, then what are they doing? So there's nothing wrong with the apple. It's the outer appearance, the things that was added to the seed that was intended to create a healthy apple. So instead of looking at what are they doing in the world, looking at television, listening to the news, reading the newspaper, on the phone gossiping, you're getting more information from the outside than you're getting from the inside. And keep in mind, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Meaning that you are only walking through the valley of the shadow of death. This is not real. The only real thing that you have is what's inside of you and what God has placed in your heart. And if you come within there and live out of that, then it will dictate what you experience as you walk through this journey. Because it is what he has placed in your heart that really counts. Nothing else really matters. Everything is on the inside. And I think that's where we lose it. We are so busy focusing. It's not the outside. It's the inside. And when you look from within and allow yourself to see what's in your heart, you will see your purpose for being on this earth. And it is your role in this play called your Jesus journey. See, the play, your Jesus journey, has over 6 billion roles. And you have been uniquely cast to play a very special part in this play. Now, I want you to just imagine that. Imagine a large stage, and the stage being the world, and all of the people that is on this stage has a role to play. And you're so blessed that God uniquely created a role just for you. The role as a mother, the role as a daughter, the role as a sister, the role as a cousin, the role as a friend, the role as a wife, the role as an individual. And he took all of those roles and he created one role, one script, just for you with all of those roles that you would play in this life. And then he rolled that into the actual overall role of the play. So if you don't get your role right, you're going to alter the role of all the other cast members. I want you to get this. And see, the role that is written, only you will know because it's placed inside of you. And if we don't play our role right as mothers, our daughters will get confused with their roles because their roles are interactive with our roles. If they don't see us playing it and saying it and doing it and being it and believing it, then they won't know how to play their role. And if you don't get your role right, you're going to alter the other cast members, which includes the people that is closest to you. Because remember, your cast and your cast inside a group, and that group is your family. And it's your job as a mother to make sure that your family practice their roles and know them so well that it's when it's your time to come up on stage to do your thing, you all are ready. You know your parts, you have your line, you've read the word. So, if you don't, and if you miss it, like I say, you're going to constantly alter the role. And then you're going to be out of character. Because, see, you were written in a certain character, in a certain behavior, a certain personality, a certain way of thinking, a certain way of being. You were written to be a certain size in height, weight. Now, did you alter your character in any way? Are we altering our characters as a mother and altering the characters of our children? Because we know that the beginning, that there's a beginning and there's an ending of the story of life. And that beginning and that ending will never change. You don't have to worry about that. You're not going to have enough power to change the beginning and the ending of the play. It is written, and it is written in a way that he knows the beginning and he knows the end. He never said, I know the middle. Do you think about that? He says, I know the beginning and I know the ending. It is the middle that gets us into trouble. It is where the opposition in your life jump in front of you to see if you will alter your role or if you will stay in character. If you will stay focused on your mission from God. It is in the middle where the challenges come. It is in the middle where you have to figure out, do I have enough love and enough strength and enough power and enough faith in God to know that where he brought me from, this middle can get through it and it's going to take me where I'm supposed to go, to the end. Now just imagine if everyone stayed in their God-given role, if they stayed in character. Just think about that for a moment. What would this world look like? Can you even imagine that, or what it would feel like if we all stayed in our God-given character, our God-given role from the beginning? Well, the beginning started with the creating of the set. That was the beginning. Then the script was written. Then the play began with Adam and Eve. And it all started when Eve entered into a perception that didn't match her outer perception of who she thought she was. And when she decided, this is not who I am, she chose to alter her role in the play that God had written and the role that he had given her. She altered it. She didn't like who she was. She decided, I'm going to change this. I'm going to be somebody else. And I know he said that, and I know he made me this way. But, see, Eve was in the middle. Eve could do nothing to the beginning. The beginning had begun. And then there was Adam. if we look at the story and you believe the story, then God gave him Eve. And Eve decided, I don't like who I am. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way he created me. I want to do it differently. I want to make some changes. Because I think I might can do it better than he's done it. So let me see what I can do to alter what he has done for me, because obviously I know something different. And that was the middle. The middle came with a challenge, and the challenge was only through a conversation. And that's why it's so important that you stay on top of that intro conversation. And I've been telling people this for 30 years. The conversation, the intro conversation, is the middle. It is where you will meet the challenges of life. It is where oppositions will come to you. It is where you have to make a choice. It is where you experience the good, the bad, the ugly. It's all in the middle. It's that little dash between the date you were born and the day you die. And that little dash is the middle. And it encompasses all that you have experienced, no matter how many years that dash represents. Just keep in mind that dash is the middle. It will make or break you on your journey. So, the beginning will never change. The ending will never change. But when Eve decided that she was going to alter who she was, make a change on her own, that was the beginning of propelling down, or the down effect of who we are. She entertained the intro conversation. She made the change. And with Eve being our mother, all of the children are affected. So that's the example God gave us. That's the mother role. Whatever you do will propel down through the generation, and your children will be affected, because you have a small part in this role, and that part is contained within your family. And if you alter what you're supposed to be, then it's going to just repeat itself in your next generation. It's going to affect. And we won't be who God made us to be. So think about it. Did you change your role? Do you even know what your role is? And if you don't know what your role is, then you certainly can't play it. So whatever you're experiencing at this moment, just know that you're in the middle of life. You're between the beginning and the end. And it's all about what you see from your words that gives you a reflection in the mirror of who you think you are. So mothers and daughters, you can stay there, or you can go back. And you can pick up the playbook, which is the Bible. You can reread your role, and you can get back into character. You always have a chance to do it over again. It is your choice. Just remember, the play has a beginning, and the play has an end. And the ending will end on time as written. The effects of the end to you will be your choice that you make, or choices that you make.
Now I'm going to open up the line, and I want to talk to you about reflection. The choices that you make makes the difference. Good morning, 954.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. Awesome topic this morning. Very, very interesting topic. I was having a little difficulty this morning following you until you got to the role part. Then I was able to see how it works in the relationship and the reflections of a mother and daughter, because it dictates the thoughts that the daughter has concerning herself and her mother. And you know, and the audience know that I passed away recently. And as I was sitting here thinking and looking back, people always told me, "Oh, you look so much like your mother. You're so much like your mother." And I used to resent the fact that people said I look like my mom, because see, we have a way of looking on the outside, the physical, as opposed to what's on the inside, because my mother role was altered. And as a result, I didn't like what I saw in her. Therefore, I didn't like what I saw in me. And so when people would say that, it would just, it would make me angry, really. Because my relationship and my reflection of my mom wasn't good. And it wasn't until those last 6 months of being able to just spend that time with her that I am a true reflection of my mom, because I'm a counterpart of my mom. But at the same time, I had developed an unhealthy reflection, if you will, based on psyche. And it's all perception. And when I appreciated my mom for who she was as a person, was able to get the reflection right. And you're right, life is like a stage, and we have many roles. But the role of a mother is the important component of a mother and daughter relationship, and that daughter having that healthy reflection of her mother. Because just like every man wants a son to reflect him, a mother wants a daughter to reflect her. I thought it was such a stimulating conversation. I was really, really thinking and reaching. How does that relate to the mother and daughter relationship and all that you were saying? But it wasn't until you use one word, that role, because that is the key to having a healthy reflection of that mother and daughter relationship.
Yeah, that's I don't write it. I just use my fingers type in what the Holy Spirit told me. And this morning when I was typing that in, I was like, wow. I was like, where are we going? And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm feeling it on the inside. And he said, you know, most people can relate to a play. They don't see the world as a stage. We've heard those words before, but do you really see it in your heart? Do you see the because we forget that this is the Garden of Eden. People forget about that. They act as if the Garden of Eden is someplace else. This is the garden. The garden has been altered with buildings and houses and roads and things of that nature. So then we tend to think that we are someplace else, but we're really still in the garden. And God just reminded me that about 2 years ago I was sitting here looking out the window, and he said, "I know you're still in the garden." So with that being said, Eve was the first mother, and Eve altered her role. And when she altered her role, it had a trickle-down effect for every other daughter, because every woman from that point on was a daughter, and then she turned into a mother. So our role was altered from Eve. And with that,
been fighting to get the middle right. Now, with your mother, you know, I don't know what her dreams were. I don't know if she got a chance to get her second chance in or if she wanted to be a dancer, did she want to be a singer. You know, we all come with a talent and gifts that God has given us, and we don't even use them because we don't take time to figure them out, or we let the world tell us that we're not good enough, and we just accept it. Or the world said, no, you can't do that, or you're not the right shape, size, and whatever, and we just accept it. But that's not true. But if you go on the inside and really read the script that you have and match it with the words from the actual script itself, the playbook, you will find that you are good enough. And that will give you the strength to get you to go and play your role the way in which it was written and intended for you. And that's the way he gave it to me this morning. And I thought, wow, that's unique. It, to me, it's, you know, we have to look at 6 billion people on this earth. And God had a plan for your life. And I'll tell you this, I think this came out of a conversation I had with God this week. And that conversation was, and the reason I'm talking to Cynthia so much because nobody else has clicked their hands to participate. I see you out there, but until you click one, I don't know if you want to participate. So when I see you do that, I will stop talking and I'll get you on. But in the meantime, I think it came out of a conversation I had with God this week. And I was listening to my minister, who is Pastor Keith Moore, out of Branson, Missouri. And he was saying, look where God has brought you from. And we hear that. You know, we can hear words so long that they become a cliche. Do we look in our heart with those words and find the meaning and what it, the projection of that word in your heart to your mind and match them up? And when I said, look where God has brought me from, the first thought came to my mind was I saw my myself coming out of the womb of my mother. And I saw myself traveling out of that womb, and at the end, as my head popped out, I saw this vision, because I was told that I had the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, and they had a hard time trying to save me. I was blue, and they thought I was gone. And God just showed me. He said, I took that umbilical cord from around your neck, because keep in mind, I was not at a hospital. I was born at home with a maiden lady or whatever they call them. She didn't have any license because, you know, I don't know. I won't get into all of that. But for those who have the knowledge and the age will realize that those things did happen back in the South, and people did use I think it's maiden ladies, so mid ladies, to birth the child. And God said, I took that umbilical cord from around your neck, and I breathed life into your body because I had a purpose for you. And that purpose is where I am right now. My purpose, and he had the plan from day one, that I would minister to mothers and daughters. Don't you think for a second that I'm doing this because it was an incident or something cute or something bad, never thought about it. It's because he ordained me to do it. Now, the resistance came is because I thought I wanted to do something else. I wanted to be a corporate trainer. I love corporate training because it was the cliche, it was the thing to do. To be a corporate trainer, it was something that I created. I wanted to change my role. But regardless of what, he brought me all the way back to what he wanted me to do, because he didn't take the umbilical cord from around my neck for no reason. He took it from around my neck, blew breath into my body, because he had a purpose and a plan for my life. And then he showed me how he put bumpers, you know, like you see little kids playing their bowling, and they have those little bumper guards on the side so the ball can stay in line. And he even showed me. He said, I had my arms right around you. So every time you went to the left too far, I'd move it in just a little bit. And you went to the right too far, I'd move it in just a little bit. Because I'm guiding you for a purpose. And your purpose is attached to someone else's purpose, and it's all attached to my end result. So he allowed us to experience things in the middle. But you can believe it. He's directing you. He's leading you as a mother, as a daughter, to the end result. And that's going to be, that's why he says all things come together for the good. He didn't say some things. He said all things come together for the good, meaning that everything you do in the middle is going to lead you to the good. But then you have to make the choice. And the choice is you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you got to accept the Holy Spirit. That's your protection. That's what will lead and guide you. Those are your bumpers. You got Jesus. You got the Holy Spirit. Just imagine, on your left, you got Jesus. On the right, you got the Holy Spirit. And you're in the middle. Everything is focused on the middle. And then you got the end. And the end is when you go and you meet your Father. Because all that you do is in the middle. So, for whoever, I know it's a good lesson for me this morning. It brought some clarity to me. It added to my conversation with God this past week. It actually brought me focused on stop asking the question why. I know God is so tired of me asking why. Why this, why that, when? Oh, Lord, come on, how long? You know, it really brought that, just stop it. Stop it. Because there's the beginning and there's the end, and you're in the middle. Just relax and walk it out. And you're going to get where you're supposed to be because you're already protected. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got the Holy Ghost. You're protected. You have all the protection around you. So all you got to do is stay focused and keep going straight. So, excuse me. With that being said, we just need to know that when we are talking about our families, we're talking about our lives and our world, it is built around the choices that we make and how those choices affect the people that is closest to us. And not only is it just our daughters, because, you know, I have grandsons. And with those grandsons, they're going to be somebody's father. They're going to be somebody's husband. And the way that they treat their wives is going to affect the daughter that they may have. Right now, my daughter has two sons, but she may have a granddaughter. God forbid, we'd like that. But if she has a granddaughter, then what? Her mother has a role, but that son also needs to know how that mother and daughter relationship works in the family and the effect that he has on that relationship, on how he treats his wife. So the role of a mother is the key role. And I know sometimes fathers will say to me, you know, it just seems like you talk about mothers and daughters all the time. And I had a stimulating conversation with about four or five gentlemen last week, and they were, I just think that you should, you know, focus on fathers and sons as well. And I said, well, you know, I have no problem with fathers and sons, but that's not my role. And it wasn't until I was writing this morning, because I could never really tell anybody and feel comfortable. I would always feel bad because they would try to make me feel bad that I'm not doing fathers and sons. I said, well, it's not what God is asking me to do. But as I wrote this morning, it came to my mind, this is your role. You're not to nurture anyone else. We are assigned a certain group of people, and that's your flock. And no one else can talk to that flock but you. He says, my flock will hear my voice. And so the people that are assigned to you, the people that come up into your life, the people that need you to counsel them, the people that need you to pray with them, you know, that those people are your flock. You can't just walk away and say, you know, I don't have time, I'll get to you later, and all of that, because they didn't come to you because you were so great and you were beautiful and all that. They came because they were led. God led them to you. They came because of the beauty of your spirit and your heart. And God knew that you knew exactly the right words to say that would help them along their journey. And that's our role. Our role is always to be the servant, always to serve somebody else. And when you serve someone and then you get into that mode of I did this and you know, if I didn't do this, this wouldn't happen, and it was because of me, then you've gotten your reward. That's all the reward that you're going to get because God said you've already gotten it. He won't give you a reward for something that you've already claimed the victory over, something that you got the glory out of. Because once you mention it, you got the glory. And that's why you have to be careful, because if anything that you do and you do it from your heart, you know God instructed you to do it. And therefore, He is the rewarder of your good. And that's why, mothers, we have to know to raise a healthy family, to have a blessed family, a godly family. We have got to be in tune with our role. We have got to know exactly what God wants us to do. And how are you going to do that? You got to have a conversation with God. You got to go through Jesus to get to the Father. You can't just skip around, and you can't just assume because of things that you're experiencing in life that you're in your role. The enemy's job is to make sure that you don't get into character, because he knows if you get into character, everything's going to work to the good for God's ending. And he's trying to hinder that. He's trying to, he doesn't have enough sense to know that he can't change anything because the beginning and the end is written. So he runs around in the middle and he plays havoc on your mind and he enters into your conversation and he disrupts your day and he steals your joy and your peace. And then he grins at the end of the day because you're confused, you're out of faith, and he knows when he gets you out of faith, God can't do anything for you. Because he says only faith moves God. That's it. You can cry, you can pray, you can moan, you can do whatever. But all your words, because praying, don't get it wrong, praying, they're words. You got to have faith attached to those words, even when you pray, for God to hear you. So with the role, we are constantly, and not that I have my role perfectly, trust me, as I tell you constantly, when I get up on Saturday morning, I'm the student. I'm the one that God's teaching. And then he say, I want you to share it. And that's how this regular, the program started, because God asked me to share my lessons. As he teach me, I want you to tell the others. And he used this platform for me to share my lessons that he was teaching me as I grow and as I travel on my journey. So, yes, oppositions come, conflict come, challenge come, but I can guarantee with all of it, I don't lose my peace, I don't lose my joy, and I fight the good fight of faith to hold on and just keep saying what God has said, to keep my faith, knowing that he cannot lie, and whatever he says will come to pass. Thank you very much. You have a blessed day, and all I can say is revisit your character, look at it, go to the playbook, and see how far you are or if you're on target. Have a blessed day and a blessed week. Bye-bye.